All right, the Hawks were on a bye. No stress over the weekend. Recoup, relax, players are back on the grind. They turn the page towards Maryland. The walk-ons are back on the grind as well. We're recapping the weekend of college football, having a nice, relaxed, friendly conversation for your entertainment. Hawks by a million. Visit the washedupwalkons.com store tab for Christmas merch. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Could be a good place to start tonight. Welcome in, Wash Up Walk-Ons. We're back. Bye weekend is over. Grant is here. G-Bone. Kevin is here. Actually, you know what?
Yeah. Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
I was on the last podcast, you asshole.
I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know. You were called just a recurring guest on Twitter this weekend.
Was I?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I'm going to bring up the old reviews. We're going to start with that. By the way, as you hear this, and you can see it on the screen, hey, smash that button. Smash your face right into that subscribe button. But more importantly, smash your mouse right onto that walk-on store button, thewashedupwalkons.com. We've got the Christmas run that is still live as you hear this for the next 3 days until November 20th. Christmas edition, Goat Wallace. A couple new Hawks by a Million looks in there. One that's here to stay, one that's more holiday-themed. Kirk's Dogs is back in stock. If you missed out the first time earlier at the beginning of the season, throw that in on the cart. And if you're just hesitant and you just don't want to do it, well, maybe wait around till Black Friday, because there could be some deals going on for Black Friday, some incentivizing of purchasing, trying to be a real company around here. We want Hawks by a Million and Washed Up Walk-Ons merchandise everywhere. Obviously, we want to build the donation for the kids. Participate. Check out our store. We love you. Thank you.
Yeah, Kirk's Dog shirt is the official stocking stuffer of 2024.
Can you imagine?
Is that from Santa himself?
That is from the big guy himself.
St. Nick said it.
St. Nick.
The elves are going nuts up there when they saw the Kirk's Dog shirt. They're like, holy shit. Holy shit, okay.
So are they Santa's dogs then? Or is that technically the
Santa's dogs?
Is that technically the reindeer? I don't really know how that works.
Santa's deers.
Santa's deers.
Are they with a Z on the end?
Is it deer
plural? It's plural and singular.
Okay.
But I think deers is actually technically correct if you write it that way too.
Is it one of the weird things where it's like it's technically like a score of deer or like a
Is that what the
a fathom of deer or something? I don't know. I don't know if it's one of those weird animals.
Maybe. We're going to bring up one of these reviews that I saw because every once in a while I check them. Last time I was like, I'd like to see if there's any more reviews. Then I listened, or then I went and saw, and it was like, oh, wow, somebody really got into it. November 7th. Listen to every podcast. 5-star review, by the way. Listen to every podcast. I was sent into depression when Drake left. Saw the email on Patreon that he came back. Instantly got hard. Whoa. I always listen while driving. I'm going to watch this one. Kluver can get annoying, but he's still very intelligent. Shout out to the one guy who thinks so. And love listening to him. G-Bone and the Broncos rock. Broncos Nation, baby. Kevin never shows up, so he's just eh. I don't care if he's there or not. Need to bring top fives back. Love this show. We'll always listen. Hawks by a Million.
We do need to bring top fives back. That's a good.
We
got to
do some top fives. Yeah. Maybe we could get a little Christmas top five going as we roll into the holiday season here.
Oh yeah,
I think we did not last year, but maybe the year before that we did top five holiday movies or Christmas movies. Did we once upon a time do that? I feel like we did.
I believe you are correct. Yes.
So, maybe we just go top five Christmas, all of Christmas. You could do a movie, you could do a food, you could do some aspect of Christmas season. That too broad?
It's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, right. You're goddamn right we can.
When's the last time we even did a top five?
It's been
years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
We did like a blended top five for the NCAA video game release.
Mm.
Like top five players you wish you could have had.
Yeah.
unofficial top five.
We got to we need to do a legitimate one. Top five presents that you got as a kid. That could be a good one.
Mm.
I remember when I got that PS2, baby. Oh, yes.
Ooh, PS2 is a good one.
PS2 is a good one, man. I have to go back and think because, I might have to pull out like Christmas pictures that my mom has printed out. I don't remember all my gifts. Anyway, appreciate you guys helping out the store. Go check it out. It's still live. Again, we're going to have Black Friday sales as well. Might even do a little 12 days of walk on Christmas this year. Some giveaways around the holiday season based around that whole theme. But we'll see what that looks like as we get into it. Big weekend of football. Did the Broncos play today, Grant?
Oh, did the Broncos play today? We absolutely mopped the floor with the Atlanta Falcons today, securing us our victory, a sweep over the NFC South, undefeated against the entire division.
Wow.
Absolute domination over
that. It's just a shame that you're in the AFC West.
And it's a shame we're in the AFC West. But I'll take it anyway. Bo Nix, unbelievable today. Offensive rookie of the year, for sure.
He's looking like he could be the real deal.
Oh, I think he's our guy. I feel great about it. I trust. I'm believing. I believe in Bo.
You believe.
So you got your franchise guy. Mm-hmm. What do the Broncos need next? You're the GM. What do they need to get over that? Let's call it the Chiefs hump.
They need Patrick Mahomes to fucking die. Say,
well, we're going to need some sage is what we're going to need first. We're going to have to cast out some demons. The devil magic that the Kansas City Chiefs have been doing recently, that's step one. Two, I'd like to draft maybe some more offensive weapons. I feel like we really need a solid tight end. I think our tight end room is thoroughly average currently right now. That's no disrespect to Mr. Dulcich over there. But, there's a couple solid dudes in the draft this year that I think we could pick up that would be nice.
We got a guy over at Penn State that's like the best in the country, right?
Yeah, or there's a guy at Bowling Green who's a absolute stud as well.
I mean, the thing about needing a tight end is like you can always get the best tight end on the board if you want to. Very rarely those guys go in top 10. So you can always get the best tight end on the board if you really wanted to.
Unless it was the year that TJ and Noah both got drafted.
What did TJ go? TJ go 10?
I thought he went 9. Did he go? Or was he like 11?
He was like 8 through 10, I think.
Okay. And then Noah was like 17th.
About Noah went 20.
Oh, to the Broncos.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of funny when I was having the same discussion and I had some buddies text me like, hey, does Iowa have any tight ends come to the draft this year? Like not even like, oh, we need a specific guy. Just first tight end available.
Who's Iowa's tight end?
We will draft them. Yeah. Just we don't need to see any highlights. Just it'll work.
It'll be interesting because Lachey is such a good talent when he's fully healthy, but we just haven't had him like that in a while.
Yeah, his career took a real turn last year. Like he easily could have been a top 3-round draft pick at the beginning of last year. Like had he progressed as we expected him to, but just the injuries mopped up and yeah, we'll see.
I mean, the legacy lives on as far as Iowa goes. I mean, Astrenga, who also has battled health this year, and Ortworth, these two guys both look like they could be top 5 college tight ends if they ascend. But who knows? A lot of things have to fall into place for that. So the Broncos did play. The Broncos won. That's good, Grant. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. TJ went 8th, by the way, in case anyone's curious.
There you go, 8. Okay.
There you go. That's really high for a tight end.
Kyle Pitts set the record when he went 4th, or has any tight end ever been like drafted higher than that?
Hold on.
Hold on. The producer is producing.
It was Pitts.
That's incredible.
4th.
So it's crazy. Okay. The Hawks didn't play. Obviously, we have nothing to recap tonight. Might be a shorter podcast. Who knows? There's some things to talk about. John Gruden got hired by Barstool. Tell you what, man.
Now, that guy's made a lot of money. Is he just doing that for fun or what?
Has to be.
Unless he just blew it all on gambling. He seems like a gambling man.
Coke and hookers.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of coke and hookers, Drake Kulik, 1-0. 1-0.
One.
Congratulations.
wanted to update the people. Wanted to start with that, actually. And it took me 9.5 minutes to bring it in. I know a lot of people were interested. We were getting tweets. I was getting DMs. Hey, can you update me? Like, I was just as much in the dark as y'all were. The only updates that we got were basically Kevin and I's group chat with him in the Benton chat. Like, hey, boys, I got the flu. It's like Thursday or Friday. He texts us. I got the flu. I feel like ass. I'm going to have to battle to like through this thing. Like, this is going to be absolute war. Then, like, we were texting him the morning of yesterday. He's like, the waiting game is not good, but I feel better. Got some IVs, got some fluids. And then about 9 o'clock, Ike sent a chat, something like, let's fucking go, boys, go to war, something like that. And at like 10:45, Drake responded that he won the fight. And so there you go.
Said it wasn't pretty, but he got his hand raised. So
yeah,
I hope there's footage out there somewhere. I would love to see it.
Kev, here's the real travesty of this: is these guys train a lot. They are doing something that is just brutal, like combat sports. How do you get into something like that? And like the promotion or anybody involved, they all decide, let's just not film this.
Yeah, I don't know. And he says because it's on a reservation, that's why they can't. I don't get it.
Drake's lightly informed theory on it was that the casino is an Indian owned casino. They then control everything that goes on. And so the broadcasting rights or like filming rights on the grounds work entirely up to them, and they charge an absolute insane premium to like rent those rights for an event or something like that. And the WFC, whatever the promotion is that he's fighting under, just decided, yeah, we're not able to fork up the cash for that. Like, I'll be honest, I would have bought this for $20 to watch Drake.
1,000,000%, yes.
And it, like, I feel like, and then they're not banking on a whole podcast listenership, like wanting to watch some guy fight, but
there was at least a couple hundred washed up walk on stand that would have paid $20.
Absolutely. And then you have all the other people that are participating. They all have 5 or 10 or 20 friends who would have bought the fight. Like, I feel like you could have made it, at least could have come out even on that thing. I don't know. Then you have footage, you have clips, you can promote better. I'm not, you know, don't ask me, but sounds like something you would want to do. So Drake won. The guy he ended up fighting was not the original guy that was on the promotion graphic that we had posted to Instagram when it came out. The original guy had some health complications, called Drake like a couple days or like maybe the day after he came on the show randomly last week or 2 weeks ago. Like, hey, man, I got to drop out. And so they filled him in with a guy that was like 20 pounds heavier on short notice. And so Drake went in there, won a 3-round fight with the flu against a guy that he was not prepared to fight weight-wise. Got it done. 1-0. And when you're 1-0, Kev, with guys like Drake, it means more fights are coming. Because if they don't lose, nothing's going to stop them.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. So the only thing here, and I think this is sort of what Drake's wanted to get into a long time. I don't know why it's taken him until we're 30 years old to do it. His master plan here is that he wants to fight on some like semi big promotion that is eventually, you know, something that's big enough that it is streamed to the internet and you can buy or purchase or somehow view. And he wants it to be like on an undercard for like a decently big fight in Brazil, in Abu Dhabi or the Saudi Arabia. Like he wants to.
If he's fighting in Dubai, we're going.
We're going to Dubai?
We're going to Dubai.
Oh, shit. That would be insane. If the whole boys took a trip. The boys trip to Dubai. That would be absurd.
Absolutely.
Oh, and he would be fighting someone legitimate too. Like, there's a decent chance we all fly across the across the entire
planet. Yeah, he's fighting some Dagestani, and he gets absolutely wrecked.
He just gets worked for like 10 minutes, gets choked out. We're all like, oh no, our friend just got choked out halfway across the planet.
Well, I'm glad we, yeah, it's like, I'm glad we flew 16 hours to get here to watch him get choked out in 8 minutes.
Like, what are we supposed to do now? We're supposed to go out tonight in Dubai because, and Drake is still recovering. Like, he said, oxygen's still coming back to his brain. That would be, we'd really need him to come through on that.
Yeah. But,
if it's in Brazil, I'm not going to Brazil.
To deal with Brazil.
I just feel like it's not safe.
It's not a very safe country to go visit. I feel like it'd be really fun, really cool though.
I'll say the Packers were just there. You can't. Well, Adam Kluver can't go.
The Packers also paid their security staff millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. The infrastructure of security. Yeah,
the NFL, I'm sure, dropped at least $5 million in security for that game.
Hey, well, you know, subscribe to the Patreon. we'll work on it.
The walk-ons might be able to foot the bill.
All right, QR code up in the top left.
No, but I don't even remember how we got there. Coke and hookers, John Gruden. Yeah, did you see any of the clips of him walking around? I think he's going to be hanging out at the Chicago office because he was with Big Cat. He's walking around. He's like, this place is incredible, man. I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, dude, he loves football.
I just love football. I love guys who all love the same thing.
Yeah. Missed by us. We should have contacted him.
Yeah, first. No, that's really big
should have hired him. That's on me. Hand up as the top guy in the company here, kind of the guy who heads things
the largest shareholder.
Yeah, numbers wise I am. And certainly visionary wise, I'm sort of the guy who puts things into place, and I missed on that. Didn't know Gruden was even available. Should have got him.
Well, he's been famously fired for a couple years now, but
didn't know he was looking.
Fired him during a Monday Night Football game at halftime.
He got fired at halftime.
Did he get fired at halftime?
Well, he got fired for non-football reasons.
Oh yeah, I know that, but I didn't know it happened at a halftime.
It was like during a primetime game that they weren't playing in, and then like I remember instead of like the whoever was in the booth or whatever, they're like, and now Adam Schefter, with breaking news from his office, and
that makes a lot more sense. Yeah, I thought you meant like he
was coaching. And, yeah,
no,
who was that one guy a couple years back? I forget. Did he play?
Somebody did get fired in the middle of the game.
No. One of the players retired at halftime.
Oh, that was Antonio Brown. He ran across the end zone.
No, not Antonio Brown. But yes, he did. Someone who doesn't have severe CTE retired at halftime a few years back.
I think you're right. Also, in baseball, guys get traded in the middle of games.
Yeah.
That happened a couple times this past season. What a wild league. John Gruden. What else happened?
Vontae Davis retired at halftime.
Who is it?
Vontae Davis.
That's right. Yep. Who did he play for? The Jets?
He was on the Bills when he retired.
Bills at the time.
Oh, I know. I found this. Saw this one over the weekend. Let me pull up this. Maybe a new way that we can do the coin toss at Iowa games in Kinnick.
Oh, yes. This was the coolest video ever.
I mean, this is unbelievable. And again, you're going to have to go to the YouTube version because you just don't get this on.
I bet.
A helicopter. Over the field. And then, Kev, you as the captain, you stand at midfield and they drop a football.
You know, they probably would send me out there because if I get hurt doing this, it's the least impact on the team compared to the other.
Of guys. The other three captains, yeah.
Yeah,
apparently this is the state championship too.
They drop the football and then they just go one-on-one wrestling match until someone secures the thing.
This is just who wins the coin toss, not even like you get to receive the ball for like you just win the like.
Look at the goddamn mountain in the background.
That was the most expensive coin toss ever. What was the price before was 25 cents and now it's. Whatever a helicopter cost.
Could you imagine we combo it? We already have flyovers, right? Could they time it where they drop the ball off out of the flyover and that thing comes all the way down?
Football would be difficult, but I mean, you know,
$1 trillion
defense budget, so they could drop some objects at midfield without any trouble, really.
I was going to say, Kev, you talked about dropping freedom bombs on this podcast before. We just turn that freedom bomb into a little football, all right?
I feel like it'd be insanely dangerous to try and catch a football coming out of an S-16. It's moving so fast.
Out of a jet that's going 500 miles an hour?
Yeah. Right before the state championship game. But they used to do that in the XFL, kind of similar. Like they would have like a wrestle for the ball.
Yeah, it's like they'd throw the ball and like basically say, go get it. And yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No helicopter. XFL, yeah. But it was just a similar concept.
They have that. I don't know if that was for a high school. That was a high school, right, Grant? You said state championship?
Yeah, that was a high school state championship.
So does this high school have a hookup with the military? Or how
does it have to be like the state athletic association?
They've got some hookup with some pilot.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I can fly the copter. You tell me, you give me the word.
It could just be some amateur who's just like, well, if we just don't tell anyone about it and fly real low,
I mean,
we can do it.
Who's the first person that come up with that that idea and is like, I gotta go sell this to these coaches now. We're gonna forego the coin toss and we're just gonna drop a ball from a helicopter.
Hey coach, I got an idea.
What do they do for the games that are like, let's say NFL?
Well, big question. Rule. What happens at overtime? Does the helicopter gotta
come? You gotta call them back. Oh shit. Hey, we're gonna need you. It's a close one.
This time they have to jump out of the helicopter this time for overtime.
The helicopter's got to park at a Dick's Sporting Goods and pick up another football because they only had one.
Now, I have a hookup for this, actually. We could get this done. I know a helicopter pilot. I was with him today. He married Lauren's cousin.
So, like, how is the state of Iowa supposed to do that when the championship game is in a dome?
That's going to be tough at the Uni Dome. Yep. Let me see. You might be able to, it might just have to be a little bit lower grade and we could get a really cool drone to fly in through the garage door at the one side of the stadium. And then it flies up to the top. You know, there's plenty of there. I think drones deliver packages now. It could easily carry a football and then drop it.
Yeah, fair. Tangent question: Why is you and I always has you and I always had the state championship, or like why? Because in Illinois, it used to always be the University of Illinois. Now it flips between University of Illinois and Northern Illinois every other year.
Mm. I like that. I like the Husky Stadium over there. That's a good. That'd be a great place.
Solid stadium. They did that because Illinois is a large state geographically, and
sure.
The vast majority of the teams that go to the state title are from the Chicagoland area. So,
right.
Yeah. Just to save everyone from
another tangent off your tangent. What percentage would you say is from Chicagoland area? What are your odds of really making it if you're like out in the farmland of Illinois? Like one.
Well, I should say, they do like north and south brackets.
Okay.
Teams out of the suburbs win the vast majority of the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless East St. Louis is usually pretty good. We got a lot of athletes down there. There's a handful of schools like further south, but
I forget that St. Louis is somewhat part of Illinois.
Yeah, on the other side of the river, it's a little dangerous over there, but they got some good football players.
You don't want to walk there at night alone, but God damn it, they can run an option. They can run an RPO. So you and I don't know, Grant, can you search that? Search Iowa High School Football State Championship, and I know it's been there. It's been there at least for the entirety of the 2000s, like going back to my memory. But I have to imagine at some point the state championship was not played at the Uni Dome. I think it's a great place to play it. I would imagine the reason they do it, Kev, is because of weather. Like you get to like they just played the state. Well, no, the state championship has not been played yet. I think it's this week.
Yeah, it's this upcoming week.
So. And to be fair, this year we've had incredible weather. Playing in like 40, 50 degree nights, which is perfect for football. But there was years where that last weekend of October, I played in like 33 degree sleeting rain.
Well, sure. But I mean, football is meant to be played outside. I mean, you look at like the Big Ten, we all got outdoor stadiums now. So, and we play into late November.
Isn't it? I think it's. Kurt Warner is very big on, like, he thinks every game of football should be played in a dome. Like, he hates that weather is a part of football.
Because he...
Well, I think he also played the majority of his professional games in a dome, but... Regardless, he's like a huge advocate of like every NFL team should.
He also came from the Arena League, didn't he?
Yeah, Barnstormers. Shout out,
yeah, Barnstormers.
But the Dome has been, it looks like, the host of the Iowa State Championship since the 70s. So
wow, 70s. Holy smokes! So before that, I have to imagine they either just played it at like Iowa State because it's central, or they just played it potentially at the higher seeds field. I don't know. I get what you're saying, Kev. I think for if you want to make more money, though, like if you want to commercialize it a little bit, and I know you now we're getting into the topic of like, oh, you're ruining football.
Commercializing high school football?
Yeah, like trying to make a little money off of it. Like if you're going to take the playoffs to an indoor place, you're going to have people that are more willing to go if it's 42 degrees outside and windy.
But I would also make the argument, you know, if like, say you flip-flopped it between Kinnick and Jack Trice every year, like,
yeah,
a lot closer to the state's major population centers.
Yes, 100%.
Like for a Des Moines school to go to Cedar Falls, like that's a hike.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half. I will say this, which is nullified by the Jack Trice and Kinnick point, but taking it to one of those three stadiums also makes it like a big thing. Like it feels very cool to go play in a college, you know, like the Division I stadium, right?
No, of course, yeah.
But yeah, if you go play at Jack Trice or Kinnick, you're gonna get that as well. I would love
Texas
if it was
plays in the Jerry Dome.
Oh shit, that would be so insane. Right. That would be so cool. I would actually love if they rotated it between the three. That would be really cool if, like, every third year it was played in Kinnick, played in Jack Trice, played in the Unidome.
Yeah, that would be
That would be insane. Maybe we should talk to the Iowa Athletic Association. They probably wouldn't listen to us.
And I mean, probably Kinnick had who played?
Two Iowa City teams, I think.
Yeah, no, it was City High and Liberty, I think. No, or it was either West and Liberty. Played a couple years back.
I think you're right. I think it was City High and Liberty. And they called it no. It was what did they call it? It had a cool name.
They did call it something, yeah. And I think like a lot of people went too.
I want to say it was like 20,000 people showed up or something.
It was like a spring game, yeah.
That would be insane.
Mm-hmm.
High school football game inside Kinnick Stadium. God, I would have been juiced. All right, let's talk some college football. What happened this weekend? Anything important? Should we recap some awards winners? How'd you boys do?
We can do awards winners.
I went 2-1.
1-2.
The all right, one
that was awards winners. Good job.
And moving on to the next thing.
Grant went 46-42. So Illinois crushed Michigan State.
Oh, wait, hold on. This is the...
Which just makes me feel even worse about the Hawks' loss to Michigan State. You know, since that game, they've lost three. They're 0-3 and have lost by like a combined 66 points in their next three games.
That's
don't,
depressing.
I don't want anyone to know that.
It's truly depressing.
Yeah. And we got our ass kicked by them.
I cannot for the life of me. I think that's going to be, you know, there's some games that stick out every year where you're just like, huh. Or like our senior year, Kev, when we beat Ohio State, you're like, huh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be one of those games that people remember. Like, you remember that 2024 Michigan State game? Like, we couldn't tackle anybody. I don't know what was going on. I hope we can get a couple of the guys on this year, some of the seniors that are moving on to whatever they're moving on to come on here and maybe shed a little light on that. Specifically some defensive guys, because it seemed like they were even at a bit of a loss. But yeah, Illinois crushes Michigan State. I believe that was at Michigan State too. I think it was
at Illinois.
Oh, was it?
I believe it was a Champaign. Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful this time of year.
Yeah. Huge home field advantage. But shout out Bert. Love Bert. LSU straight up loses to Florida. Unfortunate one for me. And Grant was on that. Grant was on that. So I'm happy because somebody won, right? Somebody won. I didn't just lose. Grant won on that. And then JMU never in doubt, 35-32 over Old Dominion, -2.5. We love it. We love the cover.
Honestly, I don't know if you – did you watch that game?
No, but I knew right. – I had a feeling.
Never in doubt might be a stretch, but
– I had a feeling that they won on the buzzer or something, and Grant was going to come to this podcast and go, well, I know Kluver didn't watch this game, but his bet was an unbelievable barn burner down to the wire.
I just want to go back and see how many of your 25 wins are JMU.
It's at least 1/5. It's 20%. JMU has been crushing for me all year long, baby. They're good against the spread. I'm gonna search that quick while you go over yours, Kev. But I'm pretty sure JMU is very good against the spread this year.
Okay. Yep. So I had Nebraska plus 9.5. That got bet down all the way to plus 7.5 by game time, I think. So if you got 7.5, that's tough because they lost by 8 points. But best case scenario for me, Nebraska loses and they cover, so I get the win there. Had the under in the Michigan State Illinois game. Illinois puts up a garbage time touchdown with 2 minutes left, and that goes over. And then had Tennessee plus 10. They're hanging in all game and just couldn't get anything going in the second half, and they end up losing by 14, I believe. Or no, 17. They lost by 17. I was going to push, I think. What was the score?
I don't know.
I think it was 31-17.
Yeah. 31-17. Lost by 14.
Actually, I gave you 2-1 on the weekend anyway. I'm going to be totally honest.
1-2.
Yeah.
Tough weekend. But I didn't, dude, honestly, I didn't like any games that much this weekend.
I didn't either. Grant sent us.
I liked the Nebraska pick. I felt okay about the Michigan State Illinois under. And then I was just looking at the whole board, and just nothing was really sticking out to me. So
that's why I went with JMU. Just go with the old faithful. How about Nebraska just continuing to lose one score games, though? Doesn't matter.
It's across three different coaching staff.
It doesn't matter, brother. Hey, if it's within one score, Nebraska's taking that L.
I would love to know what Bo Pelini's record was in one score games. Nebraska's records since they fired him.
Well, they found the November records. His November record, he was like 75% win rate. One score games, I'm sure it's, I mean, he was 75% win rate regardless of when the games were played or what the score was. So it had to be close to that. I'm starting to get a little in my For You feed, some Nebraska fans questioning the team, a lot of questioning of rule. And I know it's year two, but they started out okay, but they are in a tough spot. And I actually talked to Searles about this. Searles texted us when we lost to UCLA, kind of giving us shit, me and Drake. And I sent him back, "Hey buddy, y'all aren't in a great spot either." And he goes, "Oh, the mental and physical health of Nebraska fans is in a very bad spot right now."
They're 5-5, and they've got
Wisconsin,
who just played Oregon really tough. So
damn near beat them.
Yep. And then they've got the Hawks day after Thanksgiving,
which is a one score ball game almost assuredly until eternity. So there's a decent chance they don't go bowling in year two when it looked all but locked up through about 4 or 5 weeks. And
yeah, then Indiana came and hit them like a train, and the wheels just fell off.
Yeah, they rearranged Nebraska's face, and it really messed up their entire season. By the way, James Madison, not as good against the spread as I thought they would. They might have been. They're 60%, right? So they're going 3-2 in five games against the spread, but that's not nearly, they're sitting at 6-4 against the spread. Do you want to take a guess at the two best teams? Yeah, we'll say the five best teams, all at 80% or more against the spread
in the country.
In the Army? Country, Army's one of them.
Okay,
they're number one at 87.5% against the spread.
I'm guessing Oregon's pretty good. They didn't cover this week, obviously. Ooh, but
actually, no. Where is Oregon?
I guess they actually struggled earlier in the year, now that I think about it.
In their first couple games, they definitely I might have looked over them, but I don't see Oregon.
Yeah, no, now that I think about it, they're probably not up there.
Army's number one.
Indiana's got to be up there.
Indiana is number six at 77.8%.
What about whoever Florida State is playing?
Oh, actually, excuse me. Indiana is actually slides in there at 8-2 against the spread, 80%. Who'd you say? Whoever Florida State's playing? That might be a good guess.
Yeah.
Number two in the country is Tulane at 9-2 against the spread, 81.8%.
And then Penn State
is not up there, at least in the very top. Penn State is.
I don't think they covered those like big spreads they had earlier in the year.
This website, which is teamrankings.com, tells me that Penn State, Jesus, I actually don't see them. Are they not even on the front page? Dear God, they're not good against the spread, Co.
No?
No, I don't think so, unless I missed them. The other teams up at the very top were Colorado, Marshall, and Arizona State.
Arizona State has
a shot at the Big 12 title if things fall right here, boys.
That conference is a fucking mess.
Colorado is looking good. BYU loses to Kansas.
Did you stay up for that one?
No, but I saw you tweet about it. God damn it.
I mean, it's a weekly. I could just schedule it. I don't even have to be up.
What is your tweet? Trust God. Never.
Oh, it's the rules to live by in life. It's number one, follow God. Number two, never fight a man with nothing to lose. Number three, it's never go to sleep when there's college football on.
Yeah.
You'll miss something.
And those are great. You know what? Actually, are those your three rules? Like, did you hear that somewhere?
We did, yes.
What?
What?
Make it a t-shirt.
I was going to say, if that's original, I think we found the next G-Bone t-shirt.
I did. I mean, I don't think I invented, like, people living by following God, but I
like, adding the third
it's
rule.
It's my tweet. Yeah.
Okay. Adding the third rule. Okay. So we just found it, and we are going to find a way to make that into a t-shirt, because I will buy that t-shirt. Think a lot of people, there's been people asking about more G-Bone specific stuff. And I was like, really? Well, he hates it. He hates when we put his name on something. And they're like, well, he's going to have to accept. The direct quote was, he's going to have to accept that he's an equal part of the show at some point and that we like things he does. So there you go. The Big 12 is an absolute shit show. Iowa State at one point was a lock for the championship game there. They actually did find a way to win after some struggle against Cincinnati yesterday, but they do not control their own destiny quite yet. I believe right now it is Colorado and
should be BYU still.
I think it is still BYU. They would be the only teams with one loss in the conference, and they would be in the championship. Arizona State and Iowa State both still have a chance. Arizona State beats Kansas State yesterday, who is one of the other front runners this whole year. So
smacked them. Yeah.
Interesting stuff going on. Have you seen some of these, maybe this is the thing for the Tuesday show, but have you seen some of these scenarios where there's like eight SEC teams that all have two losses and like most of them don't get in?
Yeah. You're delusional if you don't think the SEC champion's getting in at a bare minimum, but That's. I mean, I don't love like Kirby going and like complaining after he beats Tennessee in the post game interview, but it's I think the SEC champion could have six losses and get in, if I'm just being totally honest.
Six losses.
Like I know how the committee works. Like there's no chance of that happening.
I think you have to acknowledge that there's still an SEC bias. We did not let you quickly go through your awards winners recap.
Yes, I went 8-5-1. Up at the top, I know I put the wrong line with Arizona. I'm aware of it. All right. It says Arizona +9. It wasn't even close to +9. It was Arizona -1. And they covered either number you picked. They covered this game by like 50 points. Whatever number you bet Arizona on, you won. So if you're upset about it, you can talk to my lawyer. His name is Drake Kulik, and I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you.
And he's 1-0 at fighting.
And he's 1-0. Old Dominion, I actually pushed that game. So I got Old Dominion +3 versus JMU. Crazy sweat. I'm going to be totally honest. Like the whole weekend, it might have been the most stressful game that even happened. I was watching it. And I was going to like, Kluver has zero idea what's going on.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're
he's just enjoying his life right now, and he's going to win this game with JMU. And I have to suffer here. I have to do it. But no, it's great. Like Old Dominion had to go for two at the end to cover.
Oh, wow. Well.
Yeah. Like they went and got like a garbage time, basically touchdown together.
Love
and
that.
They also had dudes wide open multiple times dropping passes. It was
oh no.
But Louisville lost outright to Stanford. Bad. Mm. I don't know what I was thinking of Louisville. I'm going to be totally honest. And they had a great little social network joke they posted talking about dropping the S.
Oh.
Those that saw the movie, you'll get it. Had Kansas versus BYU. Cincinnati was the best bet for like 30 minutes. Looked great. Then total disaster. Colorado cruising. I think Travis Hunter now too is the big front runner for the Heisman as well. So that was good against Utah. Wisconsin never even had to worry about it. Michigan State over instantly. Florida looked great out there against LSU.
Billy Napier.
And what's crazy too is that like if you had asked me like who would you be feeling better about as a coach in week 12,
yep.
Brian Kelly or Billy Napier, I would have like reluctantly said probably Brian Kelly, but I mean, I think LSU fans hate Brian Kelly way more than Florida fans hate Billy Napier right now.
They want Brian Kelly fired immediately, don't they?
If I was an LSU fan, I would have wanted him fired before he even got to LSU in the first place. Like, I just don't understand why we keep trying to make Brian Kelly work. I don't understand. Like, we've seen the best it's going to be. I don't get it. West Virginia still doesn't work. I don't understand why West Virginia, every time I've been on them,
yeah,
they put in this this quarterback Green, who he's not even the best quarterback on the team. But when I don't bet on them, they bring in the backup, and he's great, and he works perfectly. I don't understand it. UTSA was great. UCLA, not great on Friday night either. Arkansas, just they got down 10 and then just never – everyone decided they were just going to stop playing, stop scoring. Like, it was 20-10, I want to say, for like 45 minutes against Texas. So
your analysis fucking kills.
It was a good weekend, though. Yeah, 8-5-1, I'll take it.
That's good.
This was the first time it hit me as like a numbers perspective of just sheer quantity.
Yeah,
that we're at over here. Like,
the fact that you guys are both
similar numbers, at least, like,
sure,
in terms of
45 games total. And Kevin's bet on what, 43?
Yeah, and then I'm at 63-52.
You bet on 119 games.
Yeah, it's football season. We have to.
Yeah, somebody has to.
Yeah, but no, I'd say overall, like, a fun weekend. A lot of good stuff going on. Like, even like Washington State, New Mexico had a super fun game yesterday. I feel like Tennessee and Georgia was a top 15 matchup, and I feel like it wasn't even that, like, I don't know. I just feel like people weren't even excited for it. I just feel like I didn't see anyone really talking about it.
I would agree with that.
Maybe it was just like my circle of Twitter, but I have no idea.
I was sort of caught up in rural Nebraska yesterday.
Sure.
So I spent sort of that evening slate around 7-ish listening to the final 10 or 15 minutes of the Nebraska game and them losing. And then I was at we were at like a wedding reception kind of thing.
Did you see the Nebraska Twitter is back on? What if we go to the Big 12, back to the Big 12 or to the SEC?
Wow. I have not seen that.
there was discussions of like the Big 10 of like, we don't work with the Big 10 mindset.
Mm.
Like, we got to go either back to the Big 12 or join the SEC.
I don't think the SEC is the move. From a former long snapper of an Iowa Hawkeye football team, I don't think Nebraska going to the SEC is going to provide them with the results that they want. I do think that they are a, like, when I think Nebraska, they are so classically Big 8. Like, the 8-man conference that they had, sure, or 18 conference they had, and I want to say, I don't know if I could even name the 8 teams. It was Iowa State, Kansas State.
It's probably Colorado.
Colorado, yeah. Nebraska.
Is it Oklahoma?
I want to say it was Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State. Yeah, it might have been those 8 teams. I know I'm probably
– was
Baylor
teams
in there? Maybe. I don't know. I just think that they are just so classically Big 8. I think they would work really well in the Big 12 conference. And to be honest, if Nebraska announces that they're leaving the Big 10 tomorrow, is there a single person or school that's like, oh no, come back?
First of all, they're not going to do that. They make way too much money in the Big 10 to ever do that. But
correct.
I don't really know if I'm being told.
Like, the brand is big. Like, viewership number-wise, they are big. So I could see somebody at the Big Ten or other teams being like, hey, they kind of add to our profit share here, like, a decent amount. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was just kind of funny that it was like, now we're on that circle of Twitter now where it's like, we don't have any – the answer is not, like, development or anything. It's, we just got to leave the conference.
Go join the go join that new Pac-12.
Yeah. By the way, it was Missouri was in the Big 8. That's what we were forgetting.
Yeah. Hey, you know, they're trying in the SEC over there. Hawkeyes. Let's talk Hawks. We got anything to talk Hawks? They're playing Maryland this week. We'll preview that game later.
What's Brian's title over there?
Can you find that for us, Grant?
He's an analyst.
Senior analyst. Talked with Liam on last Tuesday, and he's like, I'm surprised you guys didn't talk about talk about Brian being on the opposite staff and everything. I was like, well, we haven't previewed the game yet. That's next week. He's like, oh, that's fair.
He's an analyst. Senior offensive analyst.
Which Lehman and I determined that analyst is just a way for college programs to say, you're just another coach, but we can't pay you an official coaching title salary. So we're just going to add a...
You can pay him whatever you want. You just can't give on-field instruction.
Sure.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
You know. I don't know what that looks like. It would be interesting.
Well, who was our senior year... Kevin, what's his last name? Was the special teams analyst? Like he's been his.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Kevin's. Ooh, shoot. I don't remember.
But, I mean, he was good shit. Like he spent a lot of time in the league. Like he
awesome
was shit, man.
He was awesome.
I spent a lot of time with him that year. Not on the field, but like the guy knew special teams
very well. He was great to have around. Yeah, I think analysts play a big role. It'd be interesting to see the emotional side of this one for Brian, like what kind of thoughts he's having going around in his brain. Hawks have two games left. We are at Maryland, which when Kevin and I went to Maryland, it was
2014.
It was windier than a bitch. It was windy as hell.
We went up 2 touchdowns. And then we lost.
And then we didn't.
And then the rest of the season kind of went to shit from there. I think
that was
the start of the bad season. I think we were 6-1 going into that game.
Did the Terrapins break us?
They might have.
Damn.
And we finished the year 7-5.
Not good. And we almost brought it back and got an onside kick and tried to win that game. We really tried.
Yeah. Remember we went up 2 touchdowns early. Rudock threw a pick six.
Fuck. God damn it. Jay, I knew it was Rudock's fault. Had to be. Iowa versus Maryland football 2014. I'm curious to know. Oh, God. 38-31. Now it brings back memories. Yeah, I remember seeing that on the scoreboard. That brings back a literal flashback.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs is good.
I was going to say, I wanted to see what Stephon Diggs did to us receiving wise. Oh, yeah. 9 for 130 and a touchdown.
I think he had a big punt return too, didn't he?
I think I can maybe find that.
I don't think he scored a touchdown. I think he did.
Kick returns. He had one kick return for 21 yards. Punt returns. He did not. He did not punt return that game, but the guy that they did have punt returning had. Nah, we punted 9 times. We're so bad. 9 punts, and he returned on a 37.8 yard average.
Okay, so it wasn't him returning punts, but I do remember us getting gashed.
God, that is Kev. We gave up 37.8 a return that game.
Our punt team was so obnoxiously bad that year.
Jesus Christ, dude. And you want to know what? This is the game that I had a free run. Nobody was blocking me. And he cut it across the field. He was outside the hash. I was coming from just inside the hash. And I lunged and dove and missed. I dove and missed. And he just ran like a big loop around to the other side of the field and gained like, I think, 18 or 20 yards. I was so pissed. I had a really cool shot to try and take my shot and swipe his legs and have a cool tackle. And he jumped over my arms. That was unfortunate. I can see that on film right now, too. God, that sucks. If somebody's listening and they're in the complex, send me that. 2014. I think it was the 4th punt of 9. I'm not joking either. Stephon Diggs. Yeah, it's so funny. You go see a guy like that have a crazy NFL career, and then you go back and you're like, yeah, you had 9 for 130, touchdown, 53-yard long on the day. They had a guy run for... C.J. Brown, 21 carries for 100 yards. I mean, we just gashed.
Yeah, so we recovered the onside kick. You know, we're down 17 in the fourth quarter. We go touchdown, onside kick, field goal. Don't get the onside kick, but force a punt. So, like, we're down a touchdown, and we had a chance.
Hey, we scored 31 points. What was up with the defense that day?
Well, you know, again, pick six. Give a pick six. That sucks. They were giving some trouble with a couple of formations they were running, and also Stephon Diggs is really good at football.
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah.
They got another good receiver right now as well.
Yeah, there might be some parallels here because I heard Scott Dochterman on Legends and Listeners talk about how they've got potentially one of the most underrated or
he's
maybe
he's got some pretty good size to him, I think, right?
One of the more like overlooked as far as media attention, like top five receivers in the country.
Probably, I mean, yeah, if it's just most overlooked, sure. I don't know. I you could make the argument he's just a top five receiver.
I've only watched one Maryland game this year, is the Maryland Northwestern game. But they were like, he was their offense that game.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Let me check. I'm gonna pull up the stats right now. Let's find receiving yards.
Seven touchdowns.
Oh wow,
1,000 yards.
Jesus Christ, he's fourth. He's fourth in the country. He's one of only four guys who have over 1,000 yards receiving. Seven receiving touchdowns, which isn't crazy, but it's definitely up there. He has 86 receptions, which is second in the country. Receiving touchdowns, he is, yeah, like top 20. Wow, so he's really good. He's like real, real good.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Yep,
love that.
4-6. They're going to be fighting for a bowl.
Yeah, they're still fighting.
Actually, looking at like the Big Ten records, like outside of Purdue, everyone's got a path to a bowl game.
Yeah, it's a complete cluster. There's just one big tier of like, you're kind of okay sometimes, and sometimes you're kind of.
You got the four teams. You got Oregon, IU, Ohio State, and Penn State that are, you know, in that first tier. Then you got 1-7-3 team, and then everyone else is kind of like 6-4 to 4-6.
Yeah.
And then there's Purdue.
A lot of fighting for bowl games still left on the line. And both of our opponents, Purdue's bad. Both of our opponents are going to have that potential urgency. Who knows if they actually bring it, but they will have that potential urgency when we go to play them.
I got
nothing else. We will preview this game on Thursday a little bit more. But right now, I just want people to go buy merch. Join the army and go buy merch. Rock the Kirk's Dogs, boys and girls. The elves consensus across all the elves. They said it was the best stocking stuffer of 2024.
The consensus among Santa's dogs.
Unbelievable. First time in history.
Oh,
unanimous.
I'm just going to spitball this right now. Can we get a Christmas version of Kirk's Dogs?
We might be able to do that.
What does that entail? Like,
yeah, Kirk in a Santa hat.
Iowa Christmas Santa lights instead of
So I toyed with the idea because we've Kevin and I, you saw, we got practice KF Santa, right? He'd come out in the hat and he'd wear it
once a year. Yep.
And usually at the bowl trip because that's when the bowls happen. And I really toyed with the idea. There's a couple pictures out there of him in the Santa hat. I was like, man, if we could silhouette this and like make his face, and because again, if we use his actual face, we're gonna have to run that. I would have to run that by,
yeah,
him or his.
The.
But if we use the silhouette, and then I tried to grab the silhouette and like make it on my own, and it was just like a blob. You couldn't even tell what it was. So I don't know. I think if you got KF's face and you just put it on a T-shirt with a Santa hat.
And you made like the Kirk's Dogs and like Iowa Christmas font, like, you know.
Hotcakes. Sell like hotcakes. But there's always red tape.
I just rocked that year round, man. I'd go to the opening game in August. And
everybody would, dude. September 6th. We want KF Santa, baby.
Heat index of 102.
It's rocking the Christmas KF. That's all we got. Thanks for joining us. Back to a full week of programming this week as we come off the bye. Ike Holt and I will recap KF's presser on Tuesday. G-Bone and I will do a little taglines on Tuesday. Lima and I, 5-10-5 show, preview show on Thursday. All the good stuff. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons and thewashedupwalkons.com. Go to the store tab until November 20th, Wednesday. You can grab your merch. Thank you guys for supporting and helping us donate to the kids. We'll talk to you next time. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.